If you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and evening and morning was the fourth day. Let's pray together, please. And most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all Thy blessings that You give us in Christ Jesus. And as we see the intricateness of Thy creation, the complexity of it, and we just marvel at Thy power and Thy wisdom and knowledge, and goes beyond anything we can imagine. Then we think about Your plan of salvation and how it is far above all our wisdom and thinking. We just praise Thee for it. We thank Thee for answer to prayer and how You've watched over us and taken care of us all these years. We just pray that You would be pleased to continue and bless the services this evening, that everything be done in decent and order and to the honor and glory. Pray these things in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Time existed, as we mentioned before, from the first verse unto the first day, the first verse, and the first day through the fourth day. Now, the fourth day, we have time markers. But day one, no markers. Day two, no markers. Day three, no markers. And what I mean by markers, no stars, no sun, no moon. There wasn't anything you could say that God created light, but that was like a generic light. It just the light that God brought forth, and we don't understand and know the basis of it, where it come from, and just that God made it. And then on the fourth day, then we have markers. We have the sun, the moon, the stars, and so then we can say, well, this is easy. And that's some of the false theories that come up over the creation deals with this. And we're not going to deal with much. We mentioned it before, just to let it be in our minds and thinking about. But nonetheless, when God's speaking of these days, they's all the same. And they was 24-hour periods of time. And so God made it and created it, if you will, each day as He planned, each day as He said. And it mentions also in Exodus, we'll look at just a minute, about the keeping the Sabbath day. And it mentions there that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and that it rested on the seventh. And they're all the same word as far as the days go. And it really just means they're all the same. There's nothing unusual about one or the other above the rest. And of course, each day was unusual what God did. But the days themselves were the same through all this period. And so we think about these markers. Creation day 4 and 5. Heaven was developed and populated with planets, stars, galaxy, including the Milky Way. The Milky Way galaxy, is our galaxy. It's one in billions in the universe. However, it contains the sun and the moon and the earth, plus many stars and planets beyond this. And so we're said the diameter be between 100 and 200,000 light years, and that's something we want to keep in mind about what they're saying about how the light got here and so on and so forth. Then on the fifth day, the creation of the creatures, the birds and the sea creatures and the birds and the air. Genesis 2:19, when we think about the fowls of the air, and as God was populating the Garden of Eden, and He brought forth these animals, and we notice that He also brought forth birds and formed them out fowl out of the ground. And so we have then that these fowl that come out of the sea and the fowl that came out of the ground. And we know that Jesus is the Creator, and without him was not anything made that was made, as mentioned in John, the first chapter and third verse. So when we think about this, I know it says God did this, that, and the other. We know the Spirit hovered over the deep, as already mentioned in day one. And this was part of the creation process. God's the Father is the source of all these things. And when we come to the Trinity, each has its own office, yet there's interconnection, interworking that I don't fully understand. And so when we think about the creation, yes, the Father created, the Son created, and yes, the Spirit did. But when we see the voice of God, the Word of God, the Logos of God, that was Jesus Christ. When it said, let there be light, then that was the second person of the Godhead. Day four, what about those angels? We're just going to mention just a little bit about angels. When were the angels created? This day, first day, or the second day? And I was going to look at Job 38. Well, we'll look there real quick. Job 38:4-7. And it says, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the air, declared if thou hast understanding? Who hath made the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issues out of the womb? And verse 7, the morning stars, of course, is speaking of the angels there, and there are other places called morning star, usually individual rather than many, but here it's speaking of all of them. And as they spoke, and this is one of those verses that is used to prove that they were there on the first day of the week created. If you depends on what philosophy and theology you have about that. And so from the Word of God to Job, it appears that the angels were created on the first day or beginning of the second day of the creation week. If this list was in chronological order, then we could pretty well say by the second day the angels were, but this list in Job is not in chronological order. It's kind of like a summary of things that happened. And God's asking Job, when was you when I did this, that, and the other? And so when we look at the list, and it seems to be a summary rather than the chronological order of the creation. However, these verses do not settle when the angels were created. The answer is that God simply does not say. That's one of those things, you know, when the Bible speaks, we can speak. When it doesn't, we don't. And so many theologians have their favorite day of the week, including the fourth day of the week, when God filled the universe with stars and planets. And they say this is when the angels were and brought forth. Some, since one of the purpose of the angels is ministering spirits to those that shall be saved, Hebrews 1:14, then they were probably created before man. And I think that's pretty, I think we can make that conclusion without without fearing of being wrong. I think they were created before man. But it just doesn't say. And the center of the creation account that God gives us in the Scriptures is from the earth's view, and then it's from Adam's view. And so when God created these things, as we go into chapter 2, and we get into Adam and Eve and the connection with the Garden of Eden and the creation, we see that it's centering in on this rather than if there's angels up there or if there's this, that, or the other, and how many dead stars that are up there or could be, and so on and so forth. Those things are not important. And so God is just really centering in on Adam and Eve or mankind. And we see that everything in the Scriptures says that they were created for his son and given to him, and mentioned in John also that was given, the Father gave unto him, and for a purpose, and yet it is this all is centered on the human race and not angelic race. They're just incidental. I mean, the angels are just incidental things. They're not the main subject of the Scriptures. And we find the main subject of the Scriptures, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, and the secondary is those that He saves, His elect. And so that the purpose of the whole Scriptures is to show us all this, how man can't save himself. If he could, he wouldn't. And the man that doesn't have the ability to work his way to glory, and in the end, we see the only way that you can be saved is through Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. Day four, then, the time markers were made. The earth now has a marker. Of course, the earth was created first. We had a list in an earlier lesson what the evolutionist says, which one was created first, and so on and so forth. And of course, they have the earth created last of all the planets and all this, that, and the other, and all everything else created first, and God created the earth first, then all the other stuff. And some of the reason they do it that way, they got scientific reason, cause this, not that might happen, but when they're only a day apart, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it mattered that God did it this way. That does matter, but it doesn't matter which one was born first or made first, because the plant life needs the sun. But if it's only a day without the sun, we know you can put a cover over plants and they do all right, just one day out of the sun. And then the next day they have light, then they're not going to be injured. So therefore, as we think about the creation, and it says it's for signs, seasons, days, and years. And the signs part is the one that many get tripped up on, the zodiac and so on and so forth, and these types of things. And in Scripture, it mentions signs. Jesus said they could discern the signs of the sky, you know, the weather, and yet they couldn't discern the time that was there, that was then. That is, Jesus Christ was there. So when we think about these things, the seasons and days and years, we don't have any trouble with, because we experience them. We know pretty well how these things come about. But the signs is different things, but we're not going to deal with them much. And so after reading the creation count, is from the earth's viewpoint, and again, after the second day, many Bible readers, theologians, thought everything was earth-centered, that earth just stood still, and everything revolved around that. That was one of the old theories, and of course, they just laugh at theories like that, but that's the way the Bible appears to be written. God didn't say that's the way it is. It's just the way that it was. You read this, we can see how they came up with this ideal. And there's people today that believe the same thing. So we can't, they flat earth people, and we got all kinds of people out there, and they claim to get it from the Bible. Sometime I think maybe they got a different Bible. I don't know. But when many Bible readers revolve around the earth, not realizing the complexities of God's creation, and God's point of view is that this is important. The earth is important. Adam and Eve is important because they the beginning of the human race. And this is gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father giving these gifts to the Son. On the first day, God said, let there be light. And that's the Hebrew or. And the fourth day, God said, let there be lights. A Hebrew maor, which means light, a luminary. That's Strong's lexicon, or light sources. And so in the first day, there's nothing said about a light source whatsoever. In the fourth day, there are light sources, and the sun's one of them. And all the stars that twinkle in the night, you know, and all that we have around us in the universe that gives light upon the earth, and then man-made lights and different things, they would be luminaries also. God created and placed the earth in the exact position needed to sustain for sustaining life, and everything else was placed in a proper relationship to it to maintain life. If the earth's too close to the sun, like the Mercury and Venus are, then it'd just be burned. The surface just be a crust. It'd just be burned. And then if it was too far away, like Mars and Saturn, the temperatures and so on and so forth, and we know they lack oxygen and that type of thing. And, of course, and so these would not have been suitable. The perfect one to bring forth life was the earth. And that's exactly what God did. All those provide the day, season, years, producing the planting season, growing season, harvest season, and rest season. The days, first and last, were the same because God created time and called them a day. Evening and morning was the first day, and the second day, and the third day. They were all equal length, and I mentioned Exodus 20 and 11, but we'll not turn there. And as it mentions there about keeping the Sabbath day holy, it mentions that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. And the ideal there, as you study it out, is that these are equal days. Now, these are not, you know, billion years here and a trillion years there and then 24 hours here. That's not the way it is or was. And so the sun is like a wave generator, which generates the correct light waves for the earth and maintain the life that we have on this planet. And it needs to be productive that this earth would bring forth. And God planned all this out. How long did it take the light of the sun, moon, stars to reach the earth? This is copied. Therefore, did not take a billion years for light from a star, which is a billion light years a distance from the earth, to reach the earth after the star was created. The light trail from the star was created in transit, as it were, all the way from the star to the earth 3 days before the star itself was created. As noted earlier, the universe was created fully grown from the beginning. And that's something that when I put this quote in there, I thought I haven't stressed that at all, that everything that God created is full grown. That's the reason dinosaurs were big as they were and so on and so forth, because they created full grown. And when Adam was created, he was created full grown. He had the ability to know how to be a husbandry man. He didn't have to go to school to learn how to take care of the trees or whatever work God had for him to do, and he was able to observe and understand, and so he came forth with wisdom and knowledge just from the beginning. You and I didn't come that way. We had to learn it as we grew up, but Adam was he was created full grown, and Eve also. Yes, the observed universe has changed, and men's cosmological theories have changed with it. Galileo, considered the father of modern astronomy, was limited by his telescope, and all he observed was the Milky Way. And really, as far as I understand, he didn't see all of it. His telescope, you can only see, if you take a telescope out of it, you only see so far. And so then improved technology and grew to millions of light years, then billions of light years of observed known universe. The observed universe today appears to be less than 15 billion light years. Speculation is that it's up to 20 trillion light years. I just like when scientists just add on these billion trillions and just like they're nothing. And they have no way to prove any of it. And so they talking about the light trails and so on and so forth. And yeah, when these planets, as Morris mentioned, that the light trails was as God created them, put them in place wherever they was at, the light trail was with it. I mean, that it was shining upon Earth. We know that they were shining upon Earth when Adam was created, because on the fourth day, as far as that goes, because God said there was for light upon the Earth. And so we know that then they lit the earth before 100 trillion light years or billion light years or how many ever light years. And what are these for? These light producers have a purpose. In verse 14, and God said to let the lights be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for season and for days and for years. And so this is exactly how we get our days. This is how we get our years. This is how we get our seasons. And these all cycle through by the earth, how it wobbles and changes and so on, pitches and all the things that the earth does around the sun. And as we go through the different seasons, no matter the ratio of light to darkness is always 24 hours. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Of course, the sun is a greater light. It's a light producer. The moon is a lesser light because it's a light reflector. And Mars and Venus, they are called the evening, morning. One is the evening star, one is the morning star. And they're just reflectors. They just reflect the light of the sun. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven. We notice that the stars are mentioned almost as an afterthought. He made the stars also. He's talking about all the planets he made, and he made the stars also. It's kind of an ideal there. In the known creation, there are no planets, stars, that are as complex as the earth is. Now, I know that science says we know that there's billions and trillions of planets out there, and one of them must be just like the earth. There just has to be. And you could go to Las Vegas, you know, that's their ideal. Is, well, the odds are there has to be, but they never have found it. And of course, the suns are and stars, there's mostly hydrogen and helium. The sun is the closest star, and the moon reflects that light. For signs and seasons of the planet and grow harvest, they're in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under the sun. Now he goes down through the list there, and most of these are things that deal with our human existence, like a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up, the time and that which is planted. But nonetheless, there is the things that are a season and time to everything that happens upon the earth. And these were for times and seasons, actual seasons upon the earth, but we go through physical seasons on the earth. And so that's what Ecclesiastes is talking about. But God created all these things for a purpose. Matthew 16:2-3 shows a common weather observation that we mentioned before. John 11:9, the workday consisting of 12 hours and 12 nights. And I don't know how many times I've had people say, well, preacher, you know that doesn't work. I said, what do you mean it doesn't work? Well, he said, some days are shorter than others, and they go on and on. I said, you put a sundial out there and see how many hours it's got. And, of course, it'll make a full cycle, whatever days on it. Some days it takes longer for that shadow to get all the way. Other days it didn't take as long. In the scriptures, it calls it 12 and 12. The watches was 12 hours day and 12 hour night watches. And there's a particular time they would call the cock crow. That was one of the watches that they had at night. And it's that particular time, but it's at a particular time of that day. It wasn't like a clock on your watch. I mean, a watch we have here. Now, if we said 12 hours in the day and 12 hours, and you said, no, well, a day, preacher, it only had, you know, how many hours, 8 or 9. Whatever, I don't know how many hours we have in a day right now. But in the scriptures, it calls it 12 and 12. It doesn't make any difference if the day is 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 16 hours. It's still 12 and 12. And the Romans was the first one that started coming up with better calculators for time. Even then, if we note in our scriptures, in scripture time, they were 12 and 12. So it doesn't necessarily, though, mean that every hour was 60 minutes. Sometime the hour, if it was a daytime hour, might be longer than that or shorter than that, because nothing in the Bible says about 60 seconds. It's just hours and days and time. The day was still a 60-minute hour day. It should remind us that we are to be the lights, Jesus' lights in the world. Luke 8:16 as signs of the blessed hope and the day of the Lord, and that we are to shine as lights in a dying, dark, and desolate creation. There in Daniel 12. Daniel 12, 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We think about, in verse 4 it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now it says in verse 3, though, "And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And there's a controversy over that, but it's very simple. You live for God, you'll shine in the life to come. You just barely make it in, your light's not going to be so bright in eternity. If you are a witnesser and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll shine as a star. That is distinguished one from the other. And that's all it's saying. There's a reward and glory if you serve the Lord and are not part of those in the first verse that are cast away, but those are, if you will, that wake up to eternal life. They're in 9:4 of Daniel. "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love thee and to them that keep his commandments." And so this is a central theme throughout the scriptures, that God blesses those that honor him, that love him, and if you will, follow him. Those that don't, then they're under a curse. We are to contemplate God by the things he has made. There in Psalms 8, 3, and 4, it speaks of the things that God has made. And when we look at things and see the complexity of it, and I just think how these scientists are trying to figure out how these things could come into existence, and they go through all this rigmarole, and God did it in just a matter of seconds. I mean, some of this stuff had to be just a matter of seconds, because if you do everything in a 24-hour day, it's going to a lot of things just have to happen, and only God has that power to make those things happen. And many have corrupted their ways, as mentioned in Deuteronomy 4, 16 through 19, and these are that worship the creation rather than the Creator. And this was a snare to Israel all their days, as we read through the Old Testament, how they followed after the idols of the land. They worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped the stars, and some of them had their pet stars, and, you know, it's like some have pet saints, you know, that they worship and honor and so on and so forth. They had their pet stars that they would honor and worship. And, of course, Venus and Mercury were two of those great ones that they worshiped a lot, and plus other stars in the heavens. And this was a snare to them all the days of their life. Well, they got completely away from idolatry, that God finally broke them of idolatry. But I'm not too sure about the Star of David. I won't say too much about that. But it seems like they worship that or give it much honor. That's beside the point. But the point is that man has a tendency to worship the creation rather than the Creator. The biggest worship, if you will, that we find that Christians deal with is sun worship. And, of course, that's the holidays. Most of them are dealt one way with the sun. Of course, Easter, of course, is the spring, and this is the fertility goddess that's worshipped there. But nonetheless, they honor this, and the whole ideal of the worship in December is simple, that around December 21st, the sun god is almost dead, just almost dead. And then, a few days later, the days start getting longer, and the sun god's been reborn. He's been reincarnated. And so as he's been reincarnated, you know, they had the winter solstice festival to celebrate the reincarnation of the sun god that had come back to life again. And so this was the big celebration. And it's peculiar that this is the same time that people want Christ to be born, is during the same period of time when they worship the sun. And that is the main god that Israel worshiped. That's the main god, like of masonry, and that's the main god of many of these other cults and different groups, is the sun. And because, you know, they say, well, it gives you life and gives you light, and they just go on and on and on, but God is the one that gives you life, and God is the one that caused the light to be there for you, and He's the one that didn't put it too close or too far away. He made it perfect, and we could go on and on about this, but if God is in control of all of these things, and it was so when God said He accomplished it precisely as Christ spoke it to be, is what it was to be, and God said, and it was so. Then in our latter verse, and evening and morning, verse 19, were the fourth day. We'll take up there. We don't really have time to get into that. I was aiming to spend the whole sixth day as a separate thing, but I'll figure it out before then.